This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
وأوحينا إلى أم موسى أن أرضعيه فإذا خفت عليه فألقيه في اليم ولا تخافي ولا تحزني إنا رادوه إليك وجاعلوه من المرسلين.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وابتغ فيما آتاك الله الدار الآخرة ولا تنس نصيبك من الدنيا وأحسن كما أحسن الله إليك ولا تبغ الفساد في الأرض إن الله لا يحب المفسدين. صدق الله العظيم. So yes, we concluded on the note that Allah despises the boastful and the arrogant. The hadith of Bukhari narrated by Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بَيْنَمَا رَجُلٌ يَمْشِي. In the previous nations, a person was walking. تُعْجِبُهُ نَفْسُهُ. بَيْنَمَا رَجُلٌ يَمْشِي فِي حُلَّ. He was clad in two pieces of cloth. تُعْجِبُهُ نَفْسُهُ. He felt conceited about himself, proud about himself, inflated about himself. مُرَجِّلٌ جُمَّتَهُ. His hair was well combed. Sometimes it's a brand, sometimes it's a car, sometimes it's a particular class, where you just feel the sense, I'm superior to others. Look at my brand, look at my cronies, look at my people around me. وَإِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُنَا بَيِّنَاتٍ قَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أي الفريقين خير مقاما وأحسن نديا. The disbelievers, when the verses were recited to them, they said, well, look at our comrades and look at his comrades. Look at our allies and look at his allies. Look at our gatherings and look at his gatherings. The members on our side are upper end, are high class, are elite. And that side, it's poor, simple, basic, average, mediocre. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that was the arrogance of the disbelievers. So the Prophet ﷺ says a person was walking and he was well combed and he was well attired and he felt proud about himself. إِذْ خَسَفَ اللَّهُ بِهِ الْأَرْضِ. When Allah caused the earth to split and to swallow him in. فَهُوَ يَتَجَلْجَلْ. And the Prophet ﷺ says he continues to sink into the depth of the earth. May Allah protect us. May Allah protect us. And I often say this to remind myself and to the youth. You know, generally in your youth, in your prime, you take pride of things, right? And that's your phase of beauty. It's your phase of beauty. So it's all about aesthetics. It's all about cosmetics. But in the process, my young boy, in the process, my young sister, don't hurt someone's feelings. So generally, either when a young man is going to the hair salon or he's going to the tailor or he's going to wash his car and he needs his car to look, you know, really spotless and he wants it to look exceptionally clean. There's somebody that's running a service and it is labor intense and he's doing his level best and it is a hot day, and because of your pride in your car, because your car is everything or your clothing is everything, there's a man who's a tailor who's probably, you know, breaking even, living hand to mouth, and maybe he did not use the right thread or the right cotton, or probably there was a slight adjustment, you take off because you lose your sense. You don't realize that, you know what, this man is also doing something and he's trying to earn money and I can be more dignified and I can be more respectful. So the hadith says that this person became proud on his attire. So let's clear the air. Let's clear the air. When the Prophet ﷺ spoke about the harms of pride, a companion radiallahu anhu said, O Nabi of Allah, if somebody likes to be neat, his clothes, his shoes, etc., Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna Allaha jameelun yuhibbul jamal. Allah is beautiful and Allah loves beauty. So principally, to be well attired, that's fine. But then to assume you superior because of how you are dressed and others are inferior, this is pride. And this is, it's a fine line. The dressing per se, to dress well, is great. But then to consider yourself, hey, I'm better, and that is pride. You cleaned your car, great. Now, your dad wants to hop into the car and you tell your dad, wait, dad, you know what, dust your shoes and don't dirty my car. No, back off, my brother, back off, you've lost the plot. You've lost the plot. Are you subjecting your father? Are you subjecting your father to a certain norm because your car is in a particular condition? Umm Habiba radiyallahu anha, the loyal spouse and the faithful consort of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he sallallahu alayhi wasallam's bedding was on the floor and her father came to visit her, and at that time he was not a believer. Subsequently, of course, he became a believer and a sahabi. So as he was about to sit down, she rolled up the bedding. She rolled up the bedding and she moved it. So the father asked, "Have you rolled up the bedding to save me from the bedding, or to save the bedding from me? Like, who are you protecting? Are you saving me, like, dad, don't sit here? Or are you moving the bedding away that I should not, be in any way disrespecting that bedding?" And she said, "Oh, my dad, I respect you, but this is the cloth and the shawl and the bedding of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So protecting and preserving the bedding of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I moved it away." Subhanallah, that was loyalty to the cause of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah save us from pride in all regards. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. So in verse 77, four demands or four expectations are given to Qarun. And this applies to anyone and everyone who finds himself that Allah has blessed him or her with wealth, with comfort, with ease. What are the duties? What are the duties to this wealth? Okay. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ قَوْمُهُ لَا تَفْرَحْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَرِحِينَ وَابْتَغِ فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. And search through the wealth and the affluence that Allah has given you the latter abode. First thing, Allah has given you wealth. What do you need to do? Secure your akhirah. We have local investments, offshore investments. We have policies for unborn children, but we have not even beautified and secured our own grave, leave alone anything else. Our own grave, have we decorated it with amal? Because that's what's going to protect us. So secure for yourself. When Umar radiallahu anhu had received a gift from Umar, and then he gave it in charity. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, "What have you done to the money I've given you?" So Umar radiallahu anhu said, "But that's a secret between me and Allah. I don't have to share it with you." And Umar radiallahu anhu said, "But please let me know." He said, "Iddakhartuha li nafsi yawma la yanfa'u malun wala banun." I have banked it for myself to rescue me at a time when wealth and children will not avail. فَدَمَعَتْ عَيْنَا Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu then started crying. And he said, truly, Umar was a great soul. And Umar is a great soul. And Umar radiallahu anhu then lavishly praised him. So the first thing you need to do, وَبْتَغِ فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. وَبْتَغِ search فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ, by virtue of what Allah has given you, الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ, the latter abode, through your wealth. ذهب الدثور ذهب أهل الدثور بالأجور يصلون كما نصلي ويصومون كما نصوم ويتصدقون بفضول أموالهم. The poor came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, but the wealthy, they have just secured their akhirah. There was a time when wealth meant more generosity. Like someone said it, if Allah has increased your wealth, then don't up your standard of living, but increase your donations and your contributions and your generosity. That's what you ought to do. So, O Nabi of Allah, the wealthy, they observe fast like us, they offer prayer like, but they give charity. We don't have wealth. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, okay, then recite Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar after every prayer. And then the wealthy came to know about this as well, and they also started reciting. So the poor went back to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Nabi of Allah, we were reciting this. Now they are also reciting. So in terms of actions, they do the same like us, but coupled with that, they give charity and we don't have that charity. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that is the grace of Allah. That is the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But of course, we do learn from the hadith of Tirmidhi that if a person did not own anything, abdun, a person, lam yarzuqhu Allahu mala, a person whom Allah has not given wealth, but razaqahu ilma, but Allah has given him the knowledge of deen. Fahuwa sadiqun niyya, and is genuine in his claim. He says, لو أن لي مالا, If ever Allah gives me money, لَعَمِلْتُ فِيهِ بِعَمَلِ فُلَانِ, then I will also use my money to help the poor, to help the widows, to help the orphans, to empower people. And I can assure you, my brother, you know, in my humble capacity, as a chaplain, as a religious scholar, in my humble capacity, the amount of people that reach out that are either looking for employment, looking for job, looking for funds, looking for help, looking for assistance, are just, incredible, incredible. What an opportunity that Allah has given to the wealthy to reach out, to assist. Fudayl bin Ayyad, rahimahullah, said that the poor are actually doing us a favor. يَحْمِلُونَ أَزْوَادَنَا إِلَى الْآخِرَةِ يَحْمِلُونَ أَزْوَادَنَا إِلَى الْآخِرَةِ, they are carrying our actions for us to akhirah. حَتَّى يَضَعُوهَا بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ, so they taking that charity and they going to, you know what, take it for us to akhirah, carry it for us and present it before Allah. So it is their favor upon us. Okay, so that's the first thing. وَبْتَغِ فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. We explore in verse 77. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا, and do not forget your share in this world. This has been translated in two ways, meaning with moderation, to a basic level, you are allowed to indulge in this world as well, because we need to live here, we need to exist here, and we obviously need to, you know, use the amenities of this world. The scholars say the biggest proof that Allah wants us to earn is that Allah exhorts us to spend and prohibits us from begging. So what does Allah want us to do? Obviously, we need to earn. Allah tells us, spend, spend. The Quran is replete with exhortations, and the Quran tells us and the Hadith tells us not to beg, right? لا يسألون الناس إلحافا, the pious, they do not ask and beg incessantly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to earn so that we can spend, it is our needs, etc. كفى بالمرء إثمًا, the Hadith of Abu Dawud, it is sufficient to render a person a sinner if he neglects the duties of those that he is responsible and liable for, liable of. وَبْدَأْ بِمَنْ تَعُولُ, spend on those that are under your care and your guardianship. So, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصْرِبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا, this is Islam, it's practical, it's user-friendly, to not omit your share, meaning within reason and moderation, you could, use the things of this world. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam rode on a mule as well, he rode on a horse as well, he rode on a camel as well, and obviously these were different in terms of stages and phases of transport, and Allah speaks of all these animals. والخيل والبغال والحمير لتركبوها وزينة ويخلق ما لا تعلمون. The other interpretation of this is, and this is mentioned in Durr Manthur by Ibn Abbas, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا, and do not forget your share of this world, is like an emphasis of the previous verse. In other words, your share of this world is what you bank in Akhirah, because whatever you leave behind is not your share, is not your share. Whatever you've sent forth, that is your actual share. So don't forget your share of this world, meaning take a share of this and invest it in akhirah. So it's a taqeed and an emphasis of the first portion of the verse. وَبْتَغِ فِيمَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. And both these two verses, search for akhirah through what Allah gave you, and do not forget your share in this world, meaning take it into akhirah, invest it there, because that's the place you really want to invest. Both these verses convey to us what meaning? They convey to us the following, and that is, أحسن كما أحسن الله إليك. And this is mentioned in Bayan al-Quran, the correlation, the tie between the verses, or the different portions of the same verse. وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ, and be kind like how Allah has been kind to you. I often mention this in my talks. You ask a person, how's, oh, Allah has been very kind to me. How's life? Allah has been exceptionally kind. Great, lovely, wonderful, brilliant, amazing. Now, what is the obligation of that kindness that you are a recipient of? You are a beneficiary of these bounties. What are you ought to do with this? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in verse 77, وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ, and just as Allah has been kind to you, display that kindness to His creation. So Allah has favored you, be kind, favor people, be, you know, gentle with people. رحم الله رجلا سمحا وإن كان ذو عسر وإن كان ذو عسرة فنظرة إلى ميسرة وإن كان ذو عسرة. And if the debtor is a person in difficulty, you've borrowed money, but you know the man is really breaking even. He is committed to pay you monthly, but he won't have that money, and you know that for a fact. وَإِن كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَ. And if the debtor is a person gripped in poverty, فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَ. Then give him grace and respite till he has ease. وَأَن تَصَدَّقُوا. And if you make charity and you waive that entire debt, خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. That's easy for you. That's good for you. That's beneficial for you. إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. This is the beauty of Islam, that Allah has opened up the opportunities of virtue through so many different ways. In each sphere of your life, you can earn yourself, Jannah, and earn the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ وَلَا تَبْغِ الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And do not commit corruption on the earth. Corruption here meaning sin, abuse, and exploitation. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. Surely Allah despises evildoers. Surely Allah despises evildoers. So, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ قَوْمُهُ. His nation had said to him four things. Bayanul Quran says the likelihood is that Sayyidina Musa had initially said it, and subsequently the nation said it. But obviously he was a proud, haughty, arrogant man, and he did not like the advice that was given to him. So one of the reasons of his arrogance, and we can probably just labor this slightly, was jealousy. So he was the cousin to Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, and he had memorized the Torah. Musa and Harun alayhima min Allahi as-salatu wa taslim were blessed and crowned with nabuwat. He was not blessed with nabuwat. So he became very, very, offended by this. And he said to Musa alayhi salam, but I'm a cousin to you. We're part of the same family. You know the Torah. I know the Torah. You've been blessed with prophethood. Your brother's been blessed. Why have I been deprived? So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam said to him, this is the grace of Allah. And this is mentioned in Ma'riful Quran, and I read it in other books as well. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, this is the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah selects. But unfortunately, jealousy is a very, very evil trait. Musibatun la yu'jar alayh. Jealousy is the only pain for which there's no reward, because it's self-inflicted. It's self-inflicted. And غَمٌّ لَا يَنْقَطِعْ. It is unending grief. What is jealousy in essence? That the next person must be deprived of what Allah has given him. So you don't have the capacity to bear, to tolerate, to embrace, or to witness the growth of others. And unfortunately, this is a malady more prevalent among scholars than non-scholars. May Allah guide and protect one and all. One of the great scholars said, شَهَادَةُ الْقُرَّى مَقْبُولَةً. شهادت القرى مقبولة إلا شهادة بعضهم على بعض. غالبا it was Malik bin Dinar رحمه الله, that I would accept the testimony of one scholar, in any matter, but I would not accept the testimony of a scholar regarding another scholar, because I'm afraid it might be tainted with jealousy. It might be tainted with jealousy. So a jealous person, like Imam Ghazali said, is actually worse than a miser. Because a miser is withholding what he has, while a jealous person almost wants to supposedly control the treasures of Allah. He's almost like, Allah, don't give him that wealth. Allah, don't give him that fame. Allah, don't give him that prominence. And you know, jealousy doesn't end. We know the story of our two brothers, ancestors, Qabil and Habil. It ended in the death of one, because the other one simply could not see the prosperity of the other. And what happened to Qarun? His jealousy for Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, and may Allah protect us, from being a family member of Musa alayhi salam, having memorized the Torah, being from the Bani Israel, but because of jealousy against Sayyidina Musa and Harun alayhima min Allahi as-salatu wa taslim, and of course other related crimes, he incited and provoked a woman, and he said to her, when Musa stands up and delivers a talk, then you must accuse him. and you must tell him that he has committed the act of immorality with you. Can you imagine how low a person can stoop? And you take it in family feuds when there's jealousy in family members. On a general note, between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, between sister-in-laws, or there's rivalry between co-wives, or there is jealousy between family members. It's insane. Humans become non-humans. You become non-humans. It just overpowers you. And of course, you're not excused because you need to control yourself. وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ. Oh Allah, save us from the evil of the jealous person when he or she starts venting their jealousy. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam stood up and he's delivering a talk. And this is mentioned by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah. And this woman stands up in public and she says to the people that Musa, wal'iyadhu billah, I shudder. Musa has committed an act of immorality with me. And that's an indictment on the honor and the integrity of a Nabi. And Musa pointed to her and he said, speak the truth and fear Allah. Why are you saying such a thing which is untrue? And of course she trembled and she buckled and she apologized and she said, forgive me, O Musa, forgive me, O Musa. It is Qarun who provoked me to do this here. And Sayyidina Musa then begged Allah and fell in prostration. And he said, oh Allah, Qarun has now trespassed and transgressed all limits. And Allah said, O Musa, the earth is at your command. Curse and I will destroy him. Wait and see what happens as Sayyidina Musa hurls a curse towards Qarun. May Allah save us from jealousy.